Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to welcome you all out to Yah's Global Kingdom, newcomers class, and on this evening we will be continuing in prayer. The topic of prayer, and so on last week we talked about, you know, just what condition we need to be in to go before the Most High, that we had to be not in an angry mode. We had to pray in the spirit of truth, in the spirit and in truth. We learned that the Most High doesn't hear people's prayers when they change his truth around, when they change his truth into a lie. so he doesn't hear our prayers if we do that. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so tonight we're going to be talking about in whose prayer does the Most High delight. And we're going to be looking at the different parts of our prayer as a continuation from last week. I want to say happy Tuesday to everyone in Blog Talk and Pal Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, on the African continent, or in the European theater. We greet you in the only name by whereby men must be saved. We are going to, on today, I got out and started to do some things to prepare for, setting up this hydroponic system. I had my tent up for Tabernacles, and it got blown down. I never went out to actually set it back up. And so I had some air mattresses that were in there that I needed to clean up. So, just doing a little bit of house cleaning on the outside, so to speak, washed down the air mattresses and putting things away, and then going to try to resurrect my tent, see what all damage has been done to it. After it got blown down, I didn't really want to look at it at that point, but I need to get out and look at it and do any, type of maintenance, fix up work on it that needs to be done. And then I want to, in the morning, actually start building this hydroponic system for outside. I have some systems that I'm going to build for the inside, and I'll probably start on those tomorrow evening, because all this work that I need to do is outside for tomorrow. And it shouldn't take that long to put this together. I'm only going to put together one that has three shelves in it. I was going to do four, but three is going to have to do it for now. And then should I decide that, I'm going to add to it, then I can, just go buy another 4-inch pipe and cut it and add it in. But I'm going to start with three shelves. Got everything that I need. Got the instruments in to measure the water as far as, the pH level and the total dissolved solids and the electrical potential of the water. All the stuff that you never really think about growing plants, but when you do it hydroponically, then there's different things to measure. So got that in and, was messing around with it. So I pray, I'm going to go out and tape it tomorrow, cut up everything and put it together, and then mount it to the wall. And I try to make that available maybe about a weekend as far as, putting it on, uploading it and making it available for the family. And then for those who are looking to look at the technology, just want to talk about some things that I am learning. And so if you're trying it, maybe it'll help you, or maybe you can help me. So we are talking about prayer tonight. And let us go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and then we will get into prayer on this evening. All right, that being said, our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify your name. We lift you up and we magnify you, Father. Hallelujah. We give you all glory and praise and honor. And you are our Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And we just come to worship and to glorify you, Father, and to learn your word. Be with us, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. A psalm of David. Yah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. Amen. And amen. And of course, our reference verses for this year, as Yah has put it on my heart, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which I have not known, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. And I know I added another, I believe is Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to add this in here. I don't want to forget it. As a reminder to us, Deuteronomy chapter 10. verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. All right, amen and amen. Okay, so our reference verse on tonight is, in whose prayer does Yah delight? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 8. And if you would turn there, and let me open up your mics. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yah, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The Most High is, he loves to hear from those who walk upright before him, who obey his voice, who keep his commandments, who don't doubt him. He says, you know, we know these verses, but if we say we love him, then we ought to keep his commandments. He says, how can you say you love me and keep not my commandments? And I love those that love me. You show me that you love me by keeping my commandments. So anybody else, he considers as being wicked, and their prayer is an abomination to him. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. He delights in the prayer of the upright. And so we want to make sure that when we're going before the Most High, if we're being an intercessor, if we are praying for ourselves, if we are in need, we want to make sure that we're walking upright before the Most High, that he take delight in our prayer, that he hears us. Okay, so let's look at the different elements of or parts of our prayer. Okay, now we started this on last week. We're going to continue, but let's go to Daniel chapter 40, verse 35. This is like a kind of a quick review. Daniel chapter 40, verse 30, verses 30. I mean, Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
The book of Daniel, chapter 4. And
amen.
We're going to get, right, amen. We're going to get verses 30 through 35. Daniel, chapter 4, verses 30 through 35. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might and of my power and of the honor of my majesty? Now, this is the king talking, Nebuchadnezzar. And what he is doing is taking credit for the works he has done. And what we want to do is take note that this is not what you're supposed to do. So let me read this again. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is written, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men and thy dwelling place. And thy dwelling shall be that with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So Nebuchadnezzar was saying, hey, Haven't I done all these things by my might? Isn't not Babylon great because of me? And is not it powerful because of my might and my power? And the angel spoke immediately to him and said, oh, your kingdom's taken away from you. Why? So that you can learn that the Most High is the one that rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. The same hour was the same thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. So he was made to be like a common beast, just name it out in the field. But he's got claws like an eagle, and his hair is thick like feathers, like the hairs of a bird, an eagle's feathers, and claws like an eagle. But he's a man, and the Most High just makes him a beast out of him. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. So for 7 years, he's out in the field, living like a beast, okay? And at the end of that time, I lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honor him. Now, this is what he should have been doing all along. Number one, you should bless the Most High in your prayer. Somewhere in there, you got to bless him. And you have to praise and honor him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, or counted, their reputation as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What are you doing? And the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, and my honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol or lift up and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth, and his judgment, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abate. So Nebuchadnezzar was proud. He was puffed up. And everything that he had done in his life, he was taking credit for it. And he did not honor the Most High. And the Most High caused him to become, you know, just like the beast of the field, a brute beast, knowing nothing but, you know, to eat and sleep and defecate. That's all he knew. And at the end of 7 years of living like that, then his understanding was given back to him. And the first thing he did was what? Praise the Most High. And gave him honor. And blessed him. These should be part of your prayer. You should understand that even your ability to make a living is given to you by the Most High.
Amen.
It could be taken from you, and then you're out on the street and you're begging, or you're sick in your bed because you didn't give him honor. You didn't extol him. You didn't lift him up. And so at the end of 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar had to commence. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. He wasn't doing that before. But after 7 years of being a beast, he realized that what the angel told him, you're going to have to recognize that it's the Most High that rules in the affairs of men. And he gives the earth, kingdoms, everything to whom he will. And so, you know, if you are successful at your job, you better give the glory to who? The Most High. If you are, you know, having a good life, you better thank the Most High. If you don't have, if you're not having a whole lot of issues, whatever your blessings are, you better give the credit to the Most High and thank Him and bless Him and lift Him up. Because all the goodness that's in your life is because of Him, but also all the evil that's in your life can be because of Him, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not honoring Him. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, the Most High didn't have to give him back his kingdom. But he wanted to teach him a lesson. You think you all mighty and great and powerful, and you got all this because of yourself? No, you better recognize me and know that I give it to whomever I will. So 7 years, you're not going to have it. And at the end of 7 years, I'm going to give you your understanding back. Let's see what you do. And he praised the Most High, and the Most High gave him his kingdom back. They didn't have to give it back to him. Could have left him as a brute beast, or had him, could have had him killed as that brute beast. But he wanted to teach him a lesson. So we need to bless and acknowledge the Most High and praise and honor him as part of our prayer. That element must be in your prayer and in your praise. You know, it is no two ways about it. Okay. Let's go to Psalms 104. The book of Psalms 104. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Everybody else there?
Amen.
Amen. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Bless Yah, O my soul. O Yah, my Elohim, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. The psalmist here is, first thing he does is, what does he do? He blesses the Most High. Got to do that. Because, see, we be going into prayer, and all we think about is what we want. But how do you approach the Most High? I can guarantee you, let me put you in the mindset of king and subject. In the old kingdoms, where there was a king, we don't have a king in the U.S., and so this mentality is far from us right now. But if you were to approach the king, you better approach him with some compliments, with some flattery. You wouldn't just approach him, you know, like, yo, what's up? Or you might be down for good. Because he just nod and have somebody fall on you and kill you for disrespect. And so the first thing that you want to do is bless the Most High. Bless him. Play him platitudes. Tell him how wonderful he is, how great he is. Recognize him for who he is. Recognize him for who he is. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Now the psalmist keeps going. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks upon the wings of the wind, who makes his angel spirits his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Now, these are just some platitudes that the psalmist is paying the Most High. Let him know he recognizes who he is. First, let me bless you. And then let me let you know, I know how great you are. I know some of the things that you have done. And I honor you in them. It should be part of your prayer life, part of your praise. Okay? Part of your worship, because both of these things together, prayer, worship, praise, they all go together. Okay, so you should bless and acknowledge the Most High. You should praise and honor him. You should tell him, give him platitudes, give him compliments. Let him know, you know, that you recognize by his work just who he is. Because you can say, thou art great. And what if he asks you, well, how am I great? You know, we shouldn't be hemming and hawing. We should be knowing. You are the creator of everything.
Everything. Hallelujah.
The known and the unknown, the visible and the invisible. There is nothing higher, nothing and no one higher than you. So you have to tell him how you recognize him. Okay? Go to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. And let's get verses 1 through 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. All right. Psalms 145, verses 1 through 3. David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee. I will lift thee up, my Elohim. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Yah, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Let's go ahead and continue reading this. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Yah is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Yah is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Yah. Thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations. Yah upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Yah is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. Yah is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. And we want to make a note of that, because you want the Most High to answer your prayer. You want him to fulfill the desire of your prayer. He says he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him.
Amen.
He also will hear their cry and will save them. Yah preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of Yah, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So we see how David praises the Most High. And if you don't have a personal praise, then read some of the Psalms. Read the words of David. Use his words. Bless the Most High through the Psalms. But as you have this personal relationship with him, as you see the Most High doing works in your own life, answering your prayers if you are walking upright before him, and if you fear him, then you should be able to begin your own praise, your own testimony concerning how Yah works in your life and how he delivers you out of any situation.
Yeah.
And how he is true to his word.
Amen.
You should have your own testimony. If he did it for me, that should be your testimony.
He'll do it for you.
Amen. Amen and amen. Let's go to 1 John. The book of 1 John. And we're going to get verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, or with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. They're talking about Messiah and his word, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest or made appear, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest or shown to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So there is no darkness in Elohim. And if we walk in darkness and say we walk with him, then it says we are what? We are lie. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, when we come into the knowledge of the truth, and we accept Messiah as our master, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and we come into covenant with him, we agree to abide by the rules of the covenant. That means that the first thing he says is repent, right? What are you repenting of? You're repenting of all your sins. That means you got to know what your sins are. And as far as you know them. And you come to him and you get baptized in him. Then the blood and the water cleanses you from all sin. And you are clean at that point in the eyes of the Most High. You are a new creature. He doesn't see you the same way. You were once a sinner. Now I have washed all that sin from you. You are spotless. Now, do we then turn around and go back into sin? After you've been washed up, if you are conscious of what you're doing and you are serious about it, then you're going to think 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times before you turn around and sin. And then at that point, you have to make a conscious decision to actually what? Do it. I know this is wrong. And, you know, I hear people saying it. I know this is wrong, Most High, but you got to forgive me. No, he don't. because you know it's wrong. And so in verse 7, when you first came to him and you acknowledged that you were a sinner and you confessed your sin and you were supposed to turn away from it, because that's what repentance means, turn away and not do it anymore. Then if you sin again, then by all means it should have been ignorant sin. It should have been something that you were doing that you didn't know was sin. And the day that you learned that it was sin, you repented of it.
Yeah.
And turned away from it, not to do that thing ever again. Okay, so we want to know how we stay clean. Because we were cleansed. We were washed clean. Everything, every one of our sins, every one of our, as the scripture uses, like money, debt, that we owed was not only forgiven, but it was washed away. It was a sponge, like it never even happened. He says, you are a new creature in me now.
Amen.
And then the only problem is if we turn around and go back into sin, then we got a problem. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, this is for that person that says they don't need Messiah. I walk a righteous life. I keep all the Ten Commandments. I go out and I feed the hungry. I clothe the homeless. I bring them into my house. I go to the prisons. I do all this stuff. And I don't lie. They're just righteous according to them. But the Most High made it that even our conception was sin. And even our, not our conception, when we have sex, it's sin. And so if we have been with somebody, if we are of that age, then we have sinned. But more than likely, either through ignorance or through willful, all have sinned. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we keep all the law and we keep it perfectly, then we are a liar. Okay, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now again, want to make sure that this verse is not taken out of context, because people believe that they can willfully sin, meaning that they know wrong, and then they can come and confess it. And he is true and just to forgive it. The Most High has never operated that way. And the Word shows us he has never operated that way. He says, if you sin presumptuously, willfully, your sin remains on you. That's Torah. You bring it into the New Testament, we just have to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29. It says, if you willfully sin after you have come into the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, you can't put that up under the blood. Then you really have to get serious with some true what? Repentance. Because if the sin was willful, then there's a whole other problem there. And this verse, number 9, does not apply. And people are making this verse apply. But it only applies with ignorant sin. So you didn't know that you were supposed to be doing X, or you didn't know that you were supposed to be doing X. And the day that you found out that you were either doing something you weren't supposed to do or not doing something you were supposed to do, then you're supposed to repent and turn away from or turn toward it, doing what you were supposed to do, or turn away from doing what you're not supposed to do. And he says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. That was always the premise of the Most High. As part of our prayer, we don't want to change his truth into a lie. He says when we do that, then he says, okay, especially if we knowingly do it, he says, then I turn you over to that lie. And I cause you to believe that lie. Because you chose that lie. And no matter what somebody says to you, they can't convince you that you believe in a lie. Because he has caused it to deceive you for his own purposes. And we're not going to even get into that right now. So in this, we have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive people who have sinned against us. Okay? If we say we have no sin, then we lie. And then if somebody sins against us, we have to forgive them. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, so let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Put this all together. Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get verses 5 through 15. And when you have
it,
say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Amen. Everybody's on the same page. All right. And when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So when you pray, it shouldn't be something that that you're trying to do in public so that you can be seen.
Man.
He said that's what a hypocrite do. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So when you are in need, when you desire something, you want the Most High to move on your behalf, he says, don't come out publicly and ask for it. Go where?
In your closet.
Into your closet. Into your secret place. And pray in secret. He says, and your heavenly Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. For when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Asking the Most High for the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Your faith should tell you, like my pastor used to, I used to talk to him and I said, I hear people praying. And I said, I ask for things one time. That's it. And whatever door opens or closes, I know that's the answer from the Most High. I don't pray for him over and over and over again. He says, well, that's how you ought to pray. I said, because I just believe that the Most High is going to answer. So don't use vain repetitions as far as your prayer for the things that you need, because he says, don't ask for anything if you don't believe you're going to get it. Because if you don't believe you're going to get it, you ain't going to get it. That's what he says, because you ask in what? Doubt. So why should I answer you if you doubt me already? Why should I give you what you want if you already doubt? He says, you won't get it. I won't answer you. I need to find that verse for us. So that we know this is not Brother Miles saying this, but it's straight out the word of the Most High. Because when you pray, don't ask for what you want doubting. Because if you doubt, you're not going to get it. So you have to believe it straight up from the beginning. And you're asking your Father to do it because it's something you can't give yourself. If you can do it yourself, why ask him? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if you can't do it, you need this, and you don't have the means within yourself, then you go to your Father and you ask him. And believe that he's going to make it happen. Hold on a minute. We'll come back here. Let me find this real quick. Not what I want. I know it's in John. One second. I'm going to try one more time to find this. Okay, I'll find it as we go through it. I'm not finding the verse that I'm looking for. I know it's done, but I'm not finding it where I think it's at. Okay, I will come back. I will get that verse. I want everybody to, I said what Brother Miles said, but I want you to see that, what I'm saying to you directly from the scripture. So I'll find it here in a second, but we'll continue here. Matthew chapter 6, and we were reading verses 5 through 15, and we stopped at vain repetition. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So the Most High knows what you need. He knows what I need before we ask him. All we need to do is ask him once. Father, remember, I know you know, but remember, don't forget me. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, everything that the Most High says happens in heaven. It's a problem on the earth. And we are asking him in that prayer that his will be done in earth, not ours, as it is in heaven. So see, a lot of the times we think prayer is to move the Most High to our position. But the truth of the matter is prayer is supposed to move you to the Most High's position.
Amen.
Thy will be done. Most High, what is your will in this situation? Because, see, we will go into, we will bring a situation to the Most High that we desire a certain outcome. Instead of asking him, what? What is his will? Father, is it thy will that I get this promotion? Your will be done.
Yeah.
Is it your desire that this person moves on my behalf. Your will be done. You might want a certain outcome, but the Most High may not want that for you. The Most High might say, no, I got something better for you. You want this, but no, that's not big enough for my child. And you might think that the outcome is going to be what you want, but in the end, you're going to be worse off for it. And this is my desire for you. Do we ever go, when we go before the Most High, and ask him, for real, what is your will? What do you want in this situation? Because when we say that, you know, the prayer, the Our Father prayer, we're asking him, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, except for when it comes to our personal life. Then I want done what I want done. So in everything, you have to ask him for what is his will. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Messiah says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you're a person that you are unable to forgive, then the Most High is not going to forgive you. And see, forgiveness doesn't mean that you got to go back into relationship with this person or, you know, be all buddy-buddy with them. I'm not going to hold this against you. But, you know, I also don't have to deal with you. Because every time I forgive you, you turn around and do it all over again. So I'm cool with that. I'm cool with you doing that in the past. But the only way I can protect myself from that is not to deal with you. Because I want to be forgiven. And see, this is what a lot of people don't understand, that if you don't forgive people, I don't care who it was and what they did to you, the Most High says he will not forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So there's another parable in this same line where the man owes his master $10,000. And the master comes and says, hey, and at this time, you know, it wasn't just the man that was going to pay for his debt, because they would take his wife, his children, you know, his whole family, and throw him in prison to pay for this debt. And the man begged, you know, his master not to, you know, hold his debt against me, because he'll repay him. And the master says, okay, I will forgive you all your debt. I'm going to just forgive you. Now, being forgiven, this is why when I ask people this question, if I forgive you your debt, do you still owe me?
No.
And the truth of the matter is, yes, you do.
Never paid.
You never paid. You are just a forgiven what? Debtor.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're still a debtor. And the only way to come from under that debt is to pay your debt. Then that changes your status. You're now no longer a debtor because you no longer owe anybody. But if I forgive you, then you are a forgiven debtor. I'm not going to hold you accountable for that debt. That don't mean that you don't owe me. It means that I'm not going to hold you accountable for it. Now, how do I know that? Because in the same parable, the same man went out and found somebody that owed him a dollar. And the man couldn't repay him the dollar. And he had the man thrown in prison for that dollar. The king, his master, whoever it was, heard about what he had done. Called him back and put that debt what? Right back on him. Right back on him. Because he still owed him. He had just been forgiven. Now, I don't forgive you anymore. And I'm going to now hold this debt, hold you accountable to this debt. And had him cast into jail till it was all repaid. So, and then at the end of that parable, it says, so is your heavenly Father. If you don't forgive people their debt, then the Most High says he'll turn around and put all of your debt back on you that he forgave you. That means that you headed for what? You headed for the lake. Because now you got all that sin. The debt equals your sin. It's not really talking about money. It's using money as an analogy for sin. So he says, I put all your sin back on you. And then judge you accordingly. And what have we found out is the penalty for 99.9% of sin?
Yeah.
Death. I'm going to throw you in the lake. Mm. So it's imperative that we forgive, but we don't have to go, like I said, you can forgive somebody and still not, you know, have any dealings with them after that. I'm not holding this against you. I forgive you. But I also, you ain't the type of person I want to hang around. You ain't the type of person I want to be around. That I want to deal with. Not a person of your word. You have no integrity. You just keep lying to me and keep telling me things, and I believe you, and then you turn around and do it again. Now, I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to hold it against you, but I don't want to deal with you. The people think that, you know, they got to keep dealing with this person, but you don't. Verse 16, well, we were only going through 15, okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. So forgiveness needs to be a part of your prayer. Forgive those who have trespassed against you so that your Heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses against him. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse 1. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. Everybody else, you there?
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. We're going to be going through verse 14. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not Elohim, neither regarded man. So this judge don't fear the Most High, and he don't really care about no man either. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. So this woman wants, she wants justice. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So he don't want her what? Troubling him. He don't fear the Most High. He don't really fear no man either. But he says, because she keeps bothering me with this, I'll avenge her. So she'll stop bothering me, more or less. And Yah said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not Elohim avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So we don't want to do vain repetition in our prayers, but we also don't want to stop crying out to the Most High. Cry out to him, Yah, remember me. Remember my situation. Remember you said that you know what I need. Yah, it's another day, and I'm still crying out to you. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now, when the Most High showed me this verse and brought it back to my remembrance, shall he find faith on the earth, is about believing that the Most High will do what he said he's going to do.
Amen.
You should believe that.
Yeah.
With everything that you have. And when he says he's coming back to do terrible things, you should believe that. When he says he will protect his faithful, you need to what? Believe that. And act what? Accordingly. Because see, truthfully, we act according to how we believe. If I say, sisters, your house is on fire. If you don't believe me, you're going to be like, You ain't going to even get up and go look. Brother, surely you jest. But if you thought I was serious, what would you do?
Go check it out.
Get up and go
look. Go check it out. Okay? And it's the same way in our response to the Most High. We act on what we believe. And so how we act tells what we believe. And how we don't act tells what we don't believe. What we have faith in and what we don't. So he says, this unjust judge acted on behalf of this woman because he didn't want to be troubled. He says, but don't you know that your Heavenly Father, number one, he knows what you need. And number two, if you cry unto him day after day, he's not going to take his time about taking care of your business. How does it say he will do it? I tell you that he will avenge them. How? Speedily. Quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Do the faithful think that he's going to avenge us speedily upon his return? Do we believe that he's going to come and take care of business?
I believe he is.
Amen.
I know he.
Amen. That's what he's looking for.
I know he.
He's looking for those who are going to do, number one, what he said to do, and number two, who are looking for his return, and number three, are going to act according to what he says.
Amen.
Not according to what they don't believe. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So let's look at this parable that he's about to say. And who is this parable addressing? Certain, those which, that they are what? Righteous,
yeah, right.
And despise others. Because I'm so righteous, you ain't nothing. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Elohim, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now, this man is right here with him, can hear his prayer. Now, who is this man despising? Extortioners, people who are unjust, adulterers, and the publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful unto me, a sinner. See, this righteous man, he claimed he ain't got no sin. And he's looking at what? Everybody else's sin. But the publican said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. And when he says this man went down to his house and grave typically can have the same meaning. Okay? The grave is your what? Eternal house until the Most High calls you back. So this man could have went to his grave justified rather than the other. Or he could have just went home to his house, like the house that he's living in, justified more than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Remember what the Most High did to Nebuchadnezzar? Made him like a brute beast?
Yeah.
Said he became abased? Oh, you think you something? Let me make you like the common animal. See how you feel then. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted, shall be lifted up. So we got to know that, number one, it's our duty to not allow our brothers and sisters walk in sin. But it's not our duty to exalt ourselves as though we have none. And so if we're not practicing sin, and we see somebody that is practicing sin, then we're to bring that to their attention. Brother or sister, you know that that's wrong, and you ought not be doing that. And if they come back at you and say, well, what about your sin? You can say, yes, I know that I have sin, but I'm not actively walking in it. I'm not actively doing it. That's why the scriptures tell us, if there's a brother or a sister that says that they are a brother or a sister, they say this, I'm a brother or a sister in Christ. I am a saint. And then they are actively having sex outside of marriage, then you'd have put that one away. Because that is wickedness. You say you're a brother or a sister and you're not walking upright? You say you're a brother or a sister and you are willfully sinning? Because you can't fornicate and not be willful. I mean, not unless somebody rapes you. And then I don't think the Most High looks at it as fornication. It looks at it as you being defiled. Somebody's perpetrating on you. Other than that, you really can't be fornicating and not be something that you're not aware of, that you're not willfully participating in. So he says, you're to put that one away from you. And then when we pray, we are to acknowledge that we are a sinner. That don't mean that we continually practice to stay in it. It means that the Most High has done a work. And he freed me from my sin, and I ignorantly failed. He said he would forgive me. But as I said, if you're forgiven something, that doesn't mean that you are not that thing. So if the Most High just forgives you your sin and you were a sinner, you are still, you're just a what? Forgiven sinner. That's why it's so important that we understand what Messiah did for us. Because Messiah said, I'm going to wash your tab completely clean. And I'm going to change your status from being a sinner to a new creation.
Amen.
You are no longer a sinner until you do what?
Sin.
Until you sin again. Now he says, if it's ignorant sin, you can come and confess that. And I am sure and just to what? Forgive you. But now at that point, you are a forgiven what? Sinner. I'm not going to hold that against you. Unless you hold other people's sins against you. Then I'm going to put your sin what? Right back on you. Am I making sense to anyone?
Amen.
Yes, you are.
Am I on mute? Amen.
Amen. All right. I want to make sure we understand this process and that we don't get it twisted. So, Mosiah says, when you ignorantly sin, you can confess that, and he is sure and just to forgive it. It's like you have to forgive those who do. You still got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Because if you stand after Messiah, even if it was in ignorance, you are a forgiven sinner again at that point. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right, amen. But if you willfully sin, you ain't a forgiven sinner. You just a sinner. And the Most High can come back and charge you with that. You are charged with it. And we got to understand that. And there's no way for us to be able to pay for our own sin. Can't pay that debt off. Because the Most High says, I require blood that is what? Without sin. Pure. Holy. That's how Messiah could pay the debt. So you see how we can mess a good thing up? How we want to stay in our humanity. Messiah came and gave us a clean slate. Changed our status. He said, I paid the price for you. And you are bought with a price. He says, but by me paying the price for you, you no longer in debt to Satan or to the Most High as far as sin goes. And I'm not just forgiving that debt to you. I'm saying you don't owe me.
Man.
It is a gift. Now, if you go and mess up the gift, whose fault is that?
Yours.
That's yours. If you put yourself back up under that bondage, whose fault is that? Yours. And you got nobody to blame but yourself, and you're the only one in your pastor, because The scriptures tell us your pastor going to be there, the one that's your head. And if you don't have a head, I guess you just don't be represented. But he's supposed to give a report of you. Well, brother so-and-so was like this, and sister so-and-so was like this. And he says, let their report, let them be able to make a good report. Because if they give a bad report, then it's not good for you. You see, people think they're going to be there by themselves, but that's not what the scriptures teach. So you want that person to be able to give a good report. And yes, the brother or the sister did, as far as I know. I don't know everything, Most High. You know. Thou knowest. But as far as I know, the brother or sister was X. Or the brother or sister was Y. That's my report. And if it's a good report, he said it's good for you. If it's a bad report, it's bad for you. So we ought to be on our P's and Q's. We ought to care about what we say, what we do, who we say it to, how we say it. And we ought to care about whether we are willfully sinning or ignorantly sinning. You know, if you're ignorant of it, I thank God that, I thank the Most High that if we do something ignorantly, he says, it's still sin, but I'm not going to charge you with it because you did it in ignorance. I'm not going to charge you because you didn't know. But the day you find out about it, then you better repent. You better turn away from it. Because the day you find out about it, now you know. Now if you don't repent, I will charge you with it. And I'm going to charge you. Now this is what, oh, thank you, Most High. I want everybody to empty their minds for just a second. And let us take a walk into the kingdom of the Most High. And let us walk up to the great white throne. And he that sits upon it. And he pulls out the book. The book. Because he says there's going to be books, and then there's the Lamb Book of Life. The book contain all your works in your life. So he pulls out the book. And you have something in there that you are charged with. And you knew that it was wrong. And the Most High says, what is the judgment for that? And the judgment for whatever that sin was, as I said, 99.9 out of all, not 99.9% of all of the statutes, laws, and commandments, the transgression of them come with one penalty, death.
Yeah.
And we've read this over and over and over again. You got forgiven of all your sin, and then here's this one thing you wouldn't repent of it. You were ignorant of it at first, and then when you found out about it, you didn't want to stop. Didn't confess it, didn't turn from it, and then you go before him, and that's the last thing that was written on your record. Whoop. Circled in red. And he says, you know what? All your righteousness was undone by that. And my word don't change. And in your circumstance, I choose. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. and whom I will harden, I will harden. And in your case, I choose to have mercy on you. You're walking toward the gate. The next person comes up. And let's say by happen chance, they did the exact same thing you did. And he says, go to the lake. Now, why he chose to have mercy on you and throw this other one in the lake? It's up to him. It's his choice. Do you really want to flip a coin? Do you think that the person that's in the line can say, but you just let them go? And I did the same thing. Yeah, but I don't want to forgive you. I don't want to have mercy on you. And it's all my choice. But we know the Most High will more than likely have another reason why he chose not to forgive that person. Is typically going to be what? Because of their heart. Something ain't right in their heart. Because he says, I judge the heart. Yeah, you did the same thing, but your heart is not right before me. But that person's heart was. My question to each one of us, as I said, do you really want to just take that chance?
No, brother.
Amen. I mean, everybody's got to answer for themselves.
I know. But for me, uh-uh.
Amen. Amen. I don't want to just take that chance. I would rather try to do things as much as possible to come out on the right side of the Most High than to be left to the flip of a coin. Is my heart right before him or is it not?
Oh, that's a bad choice. That's a bad chance to take.
Amen. Amen. So we want to get this thing right. We want to forgive those who have trespassed against us. We want to honor the Most High. We want to give him glory. We want to acknowledge him. We want to praise him. We want to forgive, you know, who we have to forgive.
Amen.
That he don't bring our sins back on us. And then we don't want to willfully sin ever again, ever again. After you have heard me talk about this and teach this, and if you can go back and sin willfully, then I just know there's something not right with you. Because how can you know this and then go ahead and do it anyway? Maybe you just don't believe what I'm teaching. But the truth of the matter is, it is written. So I'm not giving you my own words. It is written. And so I pray that we hear this and we don't go, you know, none of us should ever go and practice willful sin. Because we know what we're doing when we do that. And we shouldn't just take it for granted. Oh, yeah, he says, if I confess my sin, he is true and just to forgive it. Well, we went and looked this stuff up, and we know if we do it ignorantly, he's true and just to forgive us. If we do it willfully, knowingly, he ain't true and just to forgive us. And that's scary. Because we know that the judgment for, like I said, 99.9% of things is death. That means, in this case, he says, how much worse the punishment do you suppose you deserve, seeing that you have cast underfoot the Son of Man and counted the blood of the covenant? The covenant is still the Messiah's blood. You have accounted the blood of the covenant as something unholy. So he says, how much worse punishment do you suppose you deserve? That's why we can't go back and willfully sin, especially after coming to Messiah. And why nobody ever taught this, it's beyond me. It truly is. It's beyond me. I just thank the Most High He allowed me to see it.
I thank the Most High for allowing you to teach it too.
Amen. Amen. I asked some people. I went into a Hebrew Israelite room. I said, I have a question. And I sort of had a question, but was given a little sermonette. And I said, how come Hebrew Israelites say they follow the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High? But they don't never say nothing about His judgments. They'll never say they follow those. I said, but part of the covenant is following His statutes, law, commandments, and His judgments. So then I just gave, you know, a couple of instances of His judgments. And you know what people told me? I still wouldn't do it. I said, I said, so now you see why the Most High says what He says. I said, now you say if you do X, the law, the government in this country is going to come back and get you. Which one are you supposed to be more afraid of? The Most High or man? And I'll leave it at that with all of you. Which one are you going to be more afraid of? The Most High or man? The book of Psalms, chapter 20. Amen. You didn't have to answer, my sister. I'm going to leave that for you to chew on.
It's all right, brother. I ain't got to chew.
Amen. You go ahead and bite it and swallow it and let it go, huh?
Oh.
I ain't gonna even chew on it. I'm just gonna swallow it. I was kind of surprised, but I wasn't surprised with the answers that I got. But I clearly see what the Most High is saying. Psalms 118, verses 1 through 4. And when you have it, we say amen.
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 Everybody else on the same page?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Psalms 118, verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks unto Yah. So what's the next thing that we should give to the Most High as part of our praise?
Thanks.
Thanks. For He is good. Because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear Yah say that His mercy endureth forever. If you love the Most High and you keep His commandments, you got to know and believe. Because you love Him and you keep His commandments, that His mercy endureth, what? Forever. But if you don't obey His commandments, there shall be no mercy. So let me say that again. Because we know, He says, He loves them that what?
That love Him, that obey
and keep His what?
Keep His commandments.
Amen. Those that fear Him. Don't fear Him. Don't obey Him. His mercy don't endure forever. Matter of fact, He says He has none. Because He considers you an enemy. Do we think we can turn this thing on and off as we wish? The Most High says, you either obey or you don't. You either love me or you hate me.
You don't.
That ain't Brother Miles' word. The Most High says you either love him or you hate him. There ain't no in between.
Amen.
You either keeping his commandments, obeying his voice, and fearing him, or you're not.
Amen.
And so just know, if you fear the Most High, if you truly fear him, then you're going to obey his voice. You're going to keep his commandments. And you're going to be very afraid to transgress.
Amen.
He says, then his mercy endureth forever. I will have mercy on you. Because you love me and I love you. But if you don't love me, I don't love you, what mercy am I going to have on you? I'm not. You are the wicked to me. You are my adversaries. There ain't no in-between. Can't be sitting on the fence. You either need to be all the way in or all the way out. There ain't no in-between. Most I say he don't like lukewarm. He says he will spew you out of his nostril. Like, you know, who think about snot after they blow it out their nose?
You.
Nobody don't think about it again. Just glad it's out there what? Nose.
Your nose.
That's how he says he looks at us. If we come at him cold, if we come at him lukewarm, he says you ain't chose. Choose either good or evil. Choose either life or death. Don't be trying to straddle the fence. Because you straddle the fence, the answer is death. You either all the way for me or you not. Halfway is against me. Three quarters of the way is against me. That's why he says all the time, you still seek me with your what? Whole heart.
Whole
not
heart.
Half your heart. Three quarters of your heart. Not some of your heart. He says, how much does he want?
Your whole
heart.
Okay.
Anything else, don't cut it. That says you can't ask me for something in disbelief. You can't ask me for something in doubt. Because that means that you don't really 100% trust me. So I want all your heart. I want all your soul. I want you to serve me with everything that you are. No less. And the beginning of all that, let them now that fear Yahweh, that his mercy endureth forever. But we know that fear is the beginning of all wisdom.
Amen.
A wise man, a wise person, a wise woman knows that they have to fear the Most High. And all of their decisions need to be based on, I fear the Most High. So let me see what he wants in this matter. Let me see how he rules in this matter. Let me see how he judges in this matter. That's what my decision will be based upon. Because I don't want to transgress. I don't want to speak my own words where the Most High has already spoken. At least I come up short and fall into transgression. So let his words be my words. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. So give thanks unto the Most High. Part of your praise, part of your worship, part of your prayer. And fear him. Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified. Now, who are these people?
Was it 12 men that had leprosy?
10 men that had leprosy. Yeah. So let's go back up to verse 12. We're going to start in verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. Saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass, and as they went, they were cleansed. Now they're all cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified Elohim. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks.
Thanks.
As he was a Samaritan. And Yeshua answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The other 9 saw that they were cleansed too, but did they come back and give thanks?
Nope.
The Messiah said, hey, where the other ones, where their thanks at? When you pray, when you worship, part of that should be giving thanks. Mm-hmm. When the Most High does something for you, you need to acknowledge it and do what?
Thank him.
Give thanks.
Give thanks.
Thank
you. Amen. Fall down on your knees. Mm. Get on your face before him. Mm. Thank him. I remember when I was in the military, and I came out of Germany, got fired coming out of Germany because of some racism stuff. Got to my first citizen base in Myrtle Beach, and, you know, they tell me, oh, you got fired coming out of Germany, you got kicked out of your job, and so we're going to give you this job right here, which nobody's done, and we don't know since when, and we need you to, you know, to work it. Little office, you know, a desk and a chair and a filing cabinet. That was it. No windows, no nothing. A doorway. And so I'm sitting down and I'm like, man, this is rough. With it, you know, this predicament they got me in. And the phone rings. And it's the general on this base, the two-star general. He just proceeds to start cussing me out. Now, I ain't even been on the job an hour. He starts cussing me out. And I just, you know, I tell him, I said, well, sir, you know, Sergeant Miles, I've been here about an hour, hour and a half, and give me to this afternoon, and I'll get you an answer. Click, hung up. I look on the shelf, there's these regulations, and I read these regulations, I go through them, and I look in the file cabinet, and here are these folders. I go through the folders. I look at the regs. I say, okay, I see what's wrong with this. I see what's wrong with this. I see what's wrong with this. I go up to my boss and say, I need for you, because I don't really have the authority to do this, and I need these people up here before 2 p.m. So that we can go over their records and resubmit these reports. So he does that. Get all these people in. We go through their reports. We correct it. And I then called the general. No, the general calls me back about 4 o'clock. He gets a call from his boss, which is a 4-star general. And says, he says, I want to thank you. He says, because they say those numbers are the best that they have ever looked. And so whatever you want, you got. Now, this is my first day on the job there. I fell on my knees and thanked the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it could have went, that could have went even further south. Not only was I fired coming out of the job coming out of Germany, but now I would have this star general against me. And this job, you know, happened to interface with this general all the time. And from the very start, the Most High puts me where? In his good graces. So anything that I wanted from that day on, as long as that general was at this base, Sergeant Miles could do no wrong. And even my bosses had to say, you know, if they wanted to know a certain thing, if they wanted to do a certain thing in this area, they had to see what did I say about it. That was the Most High in working. I said, okay, you got jacked up coming out of Germany. You're gonna go through some things, but I'm still with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you favor in everything that you do and everything you put your hand to. And for the next 7 years, everything I put my hand to turned to gold. And so when I was going to test for, well, to make a long story short, I could score 100 on both tests that we had to take for a promotion and still not get promoted. And so I think I'd been at Myrtle Beach coming up on 6 years. Got a letter from one of the men that used to work, my old boss or my boss's boss in Germany, said, well, we found out that everything that you were saying to us was true. And here's a letter to support getting all those bad reports out of your records. Submitted to Air Force. Air Force, they disapproved. They should have did this 6 years ago. I said, so you're going to still punish me for what somebody else did wrong. So I had to go correct some military records, which is a different form. It's civilian-based. They said, yeah, you got wronged. And so all these reports are taken out of your records, and you are promoted to the next rank immediately with all that back pay. And you are to test for the next rank as soon as that this promotion cycle comes up. And again, I hadn't been studying because, you know, all of this was all of a sudden. I'm going for a senior NCO, and I studied my behind off for a month. And when the test came back, you know, I'm in the trailer with everybody else testing, and I had that trailer rocking because, you know, foot just tapping, just going, nervous, you know, and I wanted to make this, and I had asked the Most High for it. And when the test results came back, everybody that thought they made it hadn't made it. I didn't think I had made it, and guess what? I had made it. Got promoted to E7, and the Most High was just blessing me all the way through. So, again, as soon as I heard the news, I had to fall down on my knees and give him what? Thanks. First thing, to acknowledge that it was him that did it. Even though I did the studying, he's the one that he did this. I'm sure that he was guiding my hand on all those questions that I was in doubt about. I don't know, it could be this or it could be this. I'm going to choose this one. I don't know if it could be this or it could be this. Everything just seemed confusing. I'm going to choose this one. But he allowed it to where I passed. And so I had to give him thanks right away. And I can remember that because when I fell to my knees, it hurt. I'm talking about I fell hard and it hurt. But I remember just giving him the glory. So we have to give him thanks in our victories. We got to give him thanks in our defeats. And we have to ask him, you know, did we do something wrong? Was it out of his will? Maybe this was just a first round for something, and it's going to come back around again, but the next time you're going to get the victory in it. It's just going to be a more complete victory. So you got to give him thanks. Let's go to, where are we at? Luke. Let's go to John chapter 11. The book of John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we're going to get verse 41. Amen. You quick, my sister. Everybody else still getting there, I suppose.
No, I'm there too, brother. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, my sister. All right. John chapter 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Yeshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. But the first thing he did was do what?
Give thanks.
Give thanks. If Messiah did it, then we know for sure we ought to do it.
Amen.
Include this in your prayer, in your worship, and in your praise. Your personal prayer, your personal worship. Don't just go into your closet and, oh yeah, I need this, and I need that. And can you do this, and can you do that? Deliver this person, deliver that person. You have not thanked him. You have not given him any honor. You have not glorified him. See, all these things need to be in place, and you should do the latter first. Go to Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians chapter 4. And let's get verse 6. When you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Yah is at hand. Let's get verses 4. I was supposed to get verse 6. Let's start at verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in Yah always, or always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Yah is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Elohim. Now I want to add something in here. Rejoice. Rejoice before the Most High as part of your prayer. Part of your praise, part of your worship. But be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what added to it?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Give thanks. The Most High wants to know you're grateful. He wants to hear it from He wants to hear from your mouth. It's one of the few things that you can do that the Most High actually says he wants. It's your praise, your thanksgiving. Your obedience, that's expected. But he wants, he says you can bless him with thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Bless the Lord. Bless Yah. So you want to give thanks for his mercy. You want to recognize and give thanks for what he has done for you. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. Excuse me. Book of Exodus, chapter 32.
You said 32?
Yes, ma'am. Exodus 32, starting in verse 32. We might have to go back up a little bit to get context, but our reference verse is 32 and 32. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this is when the people have sinned against the Most High. And the Most High wants to blot, he wants to kill everybody. And Moses is coming back, you know, at the Most High. Let's see what they did. Jump back up to verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto Yah. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. Hopefully I can make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Yah and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Because Moses is saying, hey, he killed all these people. And I know how he is. You know, he would come upon us suddenly. Earth open up and swallow people. Most I be fire be consuming people on the outside. And he, you know, you turn around and 30,000 dead already. So Moses said, yet now, these people have sinned a great sin. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. What does the Most High say to Moses? And Yah said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So we don't want to sin against the Most High and get what?
Blotted out.
And get blotted out. Okay. We don't want to get blotted out of the book. And we don't want to get blotted out for, I don't want to get blotted out for something y'all do.
Man.
So don't be doing nothing. I don't have to go before the Most High and say, you know, and I do believe this is why a lot of places dry up. Because the people just won't convert. Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. And let's get verse 44.
Amen.
Verse 44. Thank you, my sister. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. Who are you supposed to be praying for?
People that misuse you.
Right. Not just merely just misuse you. They what? Despitefully.
Well, they hate you.
That means they did it with some intention.
Malice.
with some hatred, with some I want to do you some harm, despitefully use you, misuse you, persecute you. Pray for them. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're going to get a couple of more verses. We're going to do Romans and Timothy and James, and we'll call it quits for this. John chapter 17, and let's get verses 13 through 21. John chapter 17, verses 13 through 21, and when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, now this is Messiah speaking, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, one of the things we should take from these two verses is, number one, Messiah says he's not of this world, and the world should hate you for the same reason it hated him. That you ain't of this world. They should be looking at you and seeing you and saying, there's something different about this person. Yeah.
No.
No. Just put it in the microwave. It says, the world should hate you like it hates him. If you're looking for the world to love you, you ain't looking to be like Messiah. You're looking to be like the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. We are supposed to be that change in this world. That's why he doesn't want us taken out of it. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, out of these systems. The world in this sense is talking about the worldly systems, the education system, the religious system, the financial system, all of these systems that are used to govern this earth. That is the world. He says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. So these systems, they are the way that they are because of evil men, because of wicked men. The systems themselves aren't bad in and of themselves. It is how men use them that makes them unfair, that makes them wicked. You and I are supposed to be the change in this world. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, what good is it? If you're not trying to affect change in this world, in the earth, what good are you? And I say, because I know Hebrews don't like to vote. Hebrews think that we just supposed to be here and we're waiting on the Most High to take us out of here. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be affecting change. But that thou keepest them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we got to be in his word. We got to believe his word. We got to act upon his word. keep my commandments. Obey my voice. Do my judgment. Believe what I have had written. As thou hast sent me into the world, into these systems, because he came against the systems, even so have I also sent them into where?
To the world.
The world. How is it that we're trying to stay out of the fight? How is it that we think that through complacency, through not doing nothing, that we are doing his will? So if we're in the school system, and the school system is, and it's, if it's wicked and it doesn't meet the needs in the way that the Most High says that it should meet their needs, then you should be that change. If you are in the financial system and you see that the financial system is not being fair, then you should be that change. You should be trying to affect change. All of us. Everybody can't be ministers. Everybody can't be preachers or teachers or apostles or pastors. We are still supposed to be making and affecting change. Why did he send us into the world? Because I don't know what definition that we have put on this word world, but when you look it up and you study this thing out, he's speaking of the worldly systems. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So, the Most High has sent you, you should have a word in you, and people should believe on him and do what he said to do through your word. Let's read that again. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, those are the ones that were with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So the same things that the Messiah, that the disciples were doing, the same thing the apostles were doing. When they were saved, when they believed, they were converted, they teach the gospel. But the gospel is just not to bring people into the kingdom of the Most High. It is also to affect change of the systems in this world. That's how you, that, to change them into the system of the Most High. I pray we can hear this. Verse 21. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. All of the judgments of Messiah, he was dealing with the health system at that time. The physicians weren't, did the physicians cure the woman with the issue of blood?
No.
No.
Did Messiah do it?
Yes.
Yeah. He was dealing with the health system. Okay. When the lepers got healed, the health system again couldn't heal them, but he did. When the people were hungry, were dealing with poverty, and it wouldn't feed them, did Messiah feed them?
Yes, he did.
He's dealing with another system. Okay, and we got to understand that we are supposed to affect changes in those same systems. That's the world. And so we want to come into it and we want to go to work, come home, go to Sabbath class, and that's our week. No, the Most High says, the Messiah said, I pray for them that you save them and don't bring them out of the world, but keep them in the world. Why? So that we understand what Messiah was doing. He was dealing with the health systems, the financial systems, with the religious systems. And I can probably go back and look and find a few more that he dealt with. But that's the world that he left. He said, greater things that we should do. You know, we talk about the laws, you know, why is it that gay marriage is allowed in this country now? Because we didn't get up off our butts and go vote against it. We didn't get up off our butts and say, hey, we need to put somebody in the office that believes the same things that what? We believe. Mm-hmm. We need to put somebody in office that will do what it is that we want done, and what we want done is what the Most High wants done. But we won't do that. And so we have lost our favor, our flavor. We have lost, you know, if you wash salt for so long, it becomes unsalty. It just becomes a bunch of grains. And he says, and if the salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? It's just meant to be trodden underfoot. So we got to understand that we're supposed to be involved. And we're supposed to be affecting change. We're supposed to be taking territory. We're supposed to be converting people. I pray we can hear this, because should the Most High tarry, we need to be bringing up generations that are not afraid to get involved, that are actively getting involved in corporate to bring about change, in the judicial system to bring about change, in the police departments to bring about change. If we don't do these things, then we are good for nothing. Now, these are our own Messiah's words. If the salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? You are the salt of the earth. So you're supposed to be affecting change somewhere. You're supposed to be causing something to happen somewhere. If you put salt on meat, does it change the flavor?
Mm-hmm.
If you put salt on ice, does it melt it?
Yeah, it will.
If they put salt in the roads, does it help for traction?
Yes, it does.
You're supposed to be affecting change. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are supposed to be affecting change. We just have to stick to our morals and not conform to the morals of this world. We're going to stop here. I need to make a note. We are on question number 9, D, and I'll just start D over again. We've got a few verses to go through in that, but we are half past the second hour, no, a quarter past the second hour. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, Father, we come before you. We thank you always. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your word. Father, you are the great I am. You are the great healer. You are the great redeemer. You are the almighty, the all-powerful. And there is none like you, O Yah. You give to whomever you will, the earth and all that there is in, who you want to control it. Father, you have set us on a mission in these last days. He said that we should preach the gospel and that we should be affecting change in the earth. That no place should be the same wherever we're at. People should be able to look at us and our walk and know that there's something different. We are to be in the world, but not of it. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor. For these things are yours naturally. But Father, we bestow our praise and our worship upon you from the bottom of our hearts. Father, help us to do the mission that you have given us. Help us to be the change in the world. Help us if we have lost our flavor. Only you can resalt us. Only you can give us back what we've lost. Help us to be that change. Know that we matter and that your work that you have given to us, it is of the utmost importance. And Father, we recognize and we treat it as such. And as always, Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for loving us. As we love you only because you first loved us. And we thank you even now. Let all who hear this prayer rejoice in the fact that you serve the true and living Elohim, the one and only, the Most High. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. On Thursday, business meeting, hopefully I will have, I will have done it by then. I'm going to, as I said, do the hydroponic system, and then we're going to, perhaps I will have the video ready for that, and then we will do continue to go through the bylaws, and we might finish them up 1 year. We need to finish them up pretty quickly here. And then on Friday, we will be back in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant.
Amen.
Still reviewing what the Most High required so that we know those things that came into the New Testament. You know, again, as I said, I went out into some Hebrew rooms and I asked the question, what is in the New Covenant? And basically nobody could tell me. And so that is a problem. Because still Israel is worshiping the Most High zealously, but not a what? According to knowledge.
According to knowledge.
This is what he accused our forefathers of. Our brothers and sisters are still falling short. Serving the Most High with a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And as I said, still going about to establish their righteousness over his. So I know we're on the right track. I know that you know, the Most High is showing us issues that are prevalent throughout all Israel, and we don't want to have those same issues. Okay, we want to be completely and serve the Most High in spirit and in truth, and we definitely want to come to truly fear him. It is the foundation of everything. And he's going to do terrible things, and we believe him. He's going to do wonderful things, and we believe him.
Yeah.
So that being said, as the Most High encounters angels around you, may they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Love you.
Thank you. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no need. I need a hand.